This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
It's Packer and no Durham. Or something like that. Welcome to the show, Packer and Durham. I'm Mark Packer. Normally, Wes is sitting here. He's, I think, en route. Much like North Carolina basketball, a no-show so far for West Durham. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Of course, you've got us here on ACC Network. We're streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM channel 371. Word has it, though, Mr. Durham is en route, so eventually he will join the party. We do have a cast of thousands here. Otto, Robert, Chester, Fuller, the boys and girls back in Bristol, and we're good to go. All right, let's get right to it. Last night we had upper glob games and a lower glob game. We will start with an upper glob game, which went to overtime as Virginia takes care of business and knocks off Notre Dame 1-50. That's all you need to know. 1-50 was a W, and the Hoos take care of business. They outscore Notre Dame 3-2 in overtime. As a matter of fact, Virginia takes the lead 45-40 with just under 7 minutes to go in regulation, and all they did was score five more points for the next literally 12 minutes of play. It was that kind of night. Neither team could make a shot. No surprise there. Virginia playing great defense. Notre Dame had their chances, and maybe one of those kind of games that you'll look back at the end of the year like Notre Dame's had so many, losing five ACC games by 5 points or less. Last night, Notre Dame, a golden opportunity to take one on the road, could not get the job done. Diakite goes for 20 as the Hoos take care of business. And again, Virginia solidifies their spot at number four in the ACC, but there's still plenty of games left to go coming down the stretch. Tough game for Notre Dame, however. The good news for the Irish, they're at Duke. They'll get another opportunity coming up this weekend, but a really important win for Virginia as well as they pick up another one. Now, upper glob game last night. NC State, Syracuse, much to the chagrin of our man Josh Macri, the Syracuse Orange just do not have a night. They can't figure out how in the world to handle Kevin Keats and NC State. Elijah Hughes gets injured in the pregame warmups. Groin pull does not go. That was a big loss. You can't lose 19 points a game. Somebody else had to step up. Gerard was fantastic. He goes for 30, but it's not enough. Kevin Keats now 3-0 all time against Syracuse. NC State gets a really important win. They win 79-74. Daniels and Bryce combined for 42. And C.J. Bryce, who disappeared for about a week while NC State was kind of lost, all of a sudden he's kind of found his stroke. Daniels lights him up. Huge win for NC State, a game they needed to win on the road to basically enhance their resume. They still need to steal one. They got a couple left with Duke coming up. We'll see what happens on that front. So upper glob games last night, Virginia and NC State take care of business. Unfortunate news for Notre Dame and also Syracuse. There was also one other game last night, lower glob, Wake Forest and North Carolina. Now, we talked about this yesterday regarding the Heels coming off the emotional loss to Duke. How would they respond, right? How in the world would North Carolina come out basically their best effort of the year, go on the road, the pink game for the Deacs, they had won five straight of those, hadn't beat North Carolina in a long, long time, and this game was ugly, if you like the light blue. Wake Forest jumped out to a 26-point lead. 26. I mean, goodness gracious, North Carolina 1 of 16 from threes. Cole Anthony after the game said, we didn't listen to the scouting report. I got news for you. When you're sub 500 coming off of an emotional loss, might be a good idea to listen to the coach. I'm just saying. Now, I know Roy's talked about this has been an incredibly frustrating year. Robinson didn't go. But when you've got players saying, man, we just didn't listen to the scouting report, that is bad news. But for the Deacs, their first win over North Carolina since 2014. They had shown some signs of life. They played a tight game against Syracuse in which they battled back from a double-digit lead, a loss, and the deficit came back, took the lead, then lost the game late. Both teams had a kind of a gut check coming into it, but a really big win for Wake Forest and Danny Manning. And it really kind of leaves the question about North Carolina, about what in the world you've got the rest of the way. Our man Brian Ives says North Carolina's got the toughest schedule remaining of any ACC team moving forward, and they're already sitting there in an ugly spot at 3-10. So last night, again, upper glob, good news for Virginia, good news for NC State, bad news on the bottom end. And by the way, look, you just walked in the door.
How you doing?
I'm good. Let's see. 704.
That's a fine.
Is that a fine?
That's a fine. That's got to be a fine.
How are we doing? You all right?
Yeah, good.
We're just talking upper glob, lower glob.
Oh, great.
How's your coffee? All right? Everything good?
No, I didn't get the coffee.
We got you taken care of.
I mean, you want to say anything to the, I mean, I'm just going through last night's business.
How many shows?
Today's 119.
Yeah, kind of missed the alarm.
You know, when I sent you a text at 6:45 just to make sure you were awake, you said we were good.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you don't have to answer to me, man. You got the West Durham suite upstairs.
No, you know what? I got to answer to the Lumberjacks, man. They're going to be – that's not good. Sorry. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Morning. Welcome.
Come on.
I'm supposed to be here. I'm in my house. How could I be late? I could never be late.
Yeah, well, I knew you had me. It was good.
I've never done a show before.
I know. Yeah.
Solo.
There's one over here every day, right?
Right.
Yeah, so thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm late.
Quite all right.
I apologize.
No need to apologize to me. I'm not docking your pay.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
Well, the broken P is here.
That's it.
We just bragged about good nights for upper globs, Virginia, and NC State.
I was listening to the show on SiriusXM 371 in my quick hurry over. Yes. I got to tell you, that's a huge win for NC State. Even though Elijah Hughes gets hurt in the warm-up, and I'm not going to discount that because I really thought there were chances in that ball game last night where Kevin Keats and those guys kind of had to decide their want to, and they did. And they played great defensively.
Keats is 3-0 against Syracuse.
I know.
Yeah, there's certain things we have found, like when North Carolina struggles, they should play NC State because they just own NC State. If the Wolfpack struggles, they should find Syracuse and just play them. Football, basketball, doesn't seem to matter.
Right.
They get well when they see that shade of orange.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and C.J. Bryce and Devin Daniels last night,
42.
Especially in the first half, C.J. Bryce was really good.
Combined for 42.
And I thought that where NC State ended up late in the ball game, they were kind of, you know – and Joe Girard was fantastic.
He goes for 30.
Yeah, he was great.
He went for 30. But NC State makes 11 threes.
Yeah.
Used a lot of iron to do it at times, but it still counts. Shot 52%.
And we've all forgotten about the last couple of weeks, right? I mean, NC State's now in it, at least in the discussion.
Well, they're in it in terms of the NCAA. They've got opportunities.
Correct. Right?
They got Duke twice.
Right.
They're going to have to steal one somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? I don't think you can lose to everybody ranked, take care of everybody else's business, and say, hey, we're in.
Right.
I think they're going to have to steal one somewhere.
The biggest winner last night, obviously, was Virginia. I mean, you get fourth by yourself this morning.
Well, they were fourth going into it.
I know, but they were four with, Syracuse tied right there.
They're the fourth best team.
No question.
They're the fourth best team.
No question. But they're at 8-5, and now all of a sudden – you kind of like where Virginia is.
How's your index card there?
My card looks good. I've updated it. I updated the card.
You had time for that?
Well, that was last night. Oh. That's probably part of the reason I was 5 minutes tardy. Mr. Backer, I know you're teaching class today.
I am a guest lecturer.
You're teaching class, and I've already given you a chance to call roll.
I am a guest lecturer today at the McCall School of Business. You think I just haphazardly walk in 10 minutes
late? No, I know you don't, and I apologize for my tardiness.
No need to apologize to me again. I don't know why you keep looking to me apologizing. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's like me apologizing to Mrs. P. That's just a waste of time. It's just assumed.
All good.
We discussed yesterday the lower glob game about the interest level and what you're going to get from North Carolina, how they would respond to a gut-wrenching loss. Let's be honest, they were brutal last night.
Yeah, it was not good. It was not good in any way, shape, or form. And I thought Wake Forest started feeling pretty good about themselves in the first half. And when they led by, 30?
26.
26. And at one point, you just felt like that the Deacons were in firm control of it. Even when Carolina late made a 8-12 nothing run, cut it back to 9. I never sensed that Carolina was going to have a possession of consequence in the ballgame. I wasn't crazy. I mean, I know Garrison Brooks had a scratched eye from the Duke game, was playing with goggles and things of that nature. I hate to say this. I didn't like their shot selection. I didn't like the shots they were getting. I thought they were getting a lot of stuff off the bounce that was wild looking and things like that. And I was really concerned where they were offensively. And then, you know, Wake Forest, once they get running back.
Well, they've got pieces that can make it look better.
Yeah, Olivier Saar and Masood is playing more minutes for them. Andrian White had a nice ball game for him last night. Brandon Childers.
What's it tell you, though, when Cole Anthony says after the game, you know, we didn't listen to the scouting report.
Oh, my goodness.
That is a bad
sign.
That's
bad. Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. That's real bad.
I mean, especially coming off that game. That's why it was in – you know, of the three games last night, this was the least important, per se, based on the standings given its lower glob. But it was intriguing to see how these two teams would respond coming off their previous games. Where Wake Forest, you know, down 16 against Syracuse, comes back, takes the lead, loses a thing late.
Right.
North Carolina, again, well-documented against Duke. Both teams had one of those just gut-wrenching, ugh, and here we are on the bottom of the standings. What are we going to show? I thought Wake showed some promise.
Yeah.
They showed some want to last night.
Well, and I think, too, the other part where you get with Wake Forest is Danny Manning's team has those moments. I mean, they have those moments where they've gotten wins and they've won games on the road and they've done things like Pittsburgh. And last night they get Carolina. You know, have they run out of chances all the way around? No. I mean, they beat Clemson convincingly a couple of weeks ago, and Clemson has beaten Duke. I mean, they kind of personify, you know, these teams in this glob. And that's the part about it that, in one respect or another, you wonder, is somebody going to make a move from 4-8 in this pack, 4-9 in this pack? I don't know if there's that big a move, but because I think we're getting pretty well defined here in the next week as to who's going to be where. And I think we're looking at Tuesday teams probably in a couple of weeks as opposed to running down to the end of the season. I could be wrong, but.
Here we
go. Wouldn't be the first time. But,
spanning the glob.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I would include Wake Forest on this list at the 10 spot in the losses, but there's no doubt from Virginia down to Georgia Tech.
8-5 in the win column.
Yeah.
I think the three on both sides is where you want to stand.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Because the bottom part of this with Wake and Miami and North Carolina, I think, are pretty solidified.
Yeah. The interesting part as it relates to the tournament is one of those teams – the 5-8, like if you were to go to the tournament today, to be honest with you, four of those teams are going to be playing on, three of those teams, four of those teams are going to be playing on Tuesday based on the schedule.
Yeah. You're sure about that?
Yeah, there's two.
Late edition West Math threw on me. It's like
we had Carolina and Miami off the card. So, yeah, there are three games. That's four other teams. Got it polished up for you here this morning. Like that?
I do like that.
Very excited about it. Like that.
All right, so two upper globs, one lower glob, and tonight a lot of glob.
Yeah.
Sitting there in the middle. We'll get in all those games of BC, Miami, Louisville, Georgia Tech, and Clemson Pitt getting after each other tonight. But big winners of last night, Virginia, NC State, feeling much better about life rolling out of bed this morning.
How about 11 overtime games in the ACC already?
Well, I saw a crazy stat that 38% of ACC conference games so far this year have been determined by 5 points or less. Last night, two out of the three were kind of par for the course. And you would have probably thought that Wake North Carolina would have been much more competitive, quite frankly.
And congratulations to Virginia. They've become the second home team to win an ACC overtime game this year.
But how bizarre, though, that they have a five-point lead, 45-40. With just under 7 minutes to go in regulation, they end up with 50 in overtime.
And win the game.
So in the last basically 12 minutes of play, they scored 5 points and won the game.
And didn't have a field goal in overtime.
3-2 total points. That's it. That'll be a tough one for Mike Bray, though. And he basically said afterwards, hey, you know what? We knew it was going to be a rock fight. We're just not used to these kind of rock fights.
And I think they handled it the right way. They went directly from Clemson to South Bend. They didn't stress themselves on the travel and the wear and tear on a team. And look, they're not terribly deep, period, as a basketball team. But man, do they play hard.
And they still get an opportunity with Duke this weekend. I mean, they're just looking to steal one, right? That's absolutely all these teams want. Virginia State, Notre Dame, Syracuse. Can you steal one against a ranked team between now and the start of Greensboro? That is the mission.
Well, now that everybody's in their places with bright, shining faces, we'll talk about Tuesday in Greensboro at the ACC tournament.
By the way, 844-SAY-ACCN, what should the punishment be for West Durham? How about that today?
Wow.
844-SAY-ACCN.
Wow.
Does he have to wear one of those North Carolina Duke uniforms for a show?
No. Maybe that's what that's a five-minute penalty? Absolutely not. ACC Network, Sirius XM 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham from the basement, 844-SAY-ACCN. The gang is all here. We rattled through last night's upper glob and one lower glob game. We have three tonight, which we'll eventually get to. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Mm-hmm. We're going to need your help for a punishment. West Durham showing up late today for work.
Come on.
You know, I just told you. I've been doing SiriusXM.
1,000 years.
For 9 years, I think, now. Working on year 10.
Yeah.
I've never been late for a show. Of course, the show is in the middle of the afternoon, 4 o'clock. But we've now done...
Now, you know on radio...
Wait a minute. We've now done 119 of these.
Right.
On television.
Yeah.
And not to mention another 300-some-odd on radio prior to.
Well, now, you remember on radio there were a couple close calls for me.
For you.
Yeah.
Not for
you.
Me.
For me, there were a couple close calls on radio.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
And occasionally I'll get that sixth sense to send you a note to say, hey, things good? We good? We're up and moving? Which I gave you this morning.
Well, you did, and I looked at my phone. That's when I realized it was not 5:45, but 6:45. Good morning.
If this show was in Central Time, you'd have been in business, though. You'd have been right on time.
Yep. Good thing is, you got the best coffee I know of.
Because it's free, and it's right down the hallway.
A show being done from a basement with two dogs. All right, you ready for Tuesday concept?
Hey, I've been waiting. I'm waiting on you. What do you mean, am I ready?
Okay. There are a couple different things about Tuesday.
Wait a minute. You're not going to give the story of why you're late?
Okay, here's what happened.
I mean, you can't tease America and just say, listen, I'm Ryan Seacrest. I'll show up whenever I want to.
Who's from Atlanta, by the way.
Yeah.
All right. So last night, I have a function, like most of America, I have a function on my phone that sets as an alarm, right?
I don't know.
And
I assume so.
It automatically sets the alarm. Well, I kept thinking, well, that alarm, it comes up, it pops up on the screen, you engage it, so on and so forth. Last night, I thought, oh, you know what, that's right, the alarm said I'm all good. Did I check? Nah, didn't check last night. Went to sleep, woke up, and I thought, now that's the backstory. I woke up and I looked at my phone, and I thought, oh, okay, I'm in good shape then. It's only like 6-something. I mean, it's 5, you know, I usually get up 5:45, didn't get up 5:45, got...
Should I start when I get up at 3:45?
No, you should not start.
No,
calling.
Hold on. Just hear me out.
No,
hear me out, because you're really not in a position of strength in this debate at this current time. At 3:45 in the morning, when I get up,
yeah,
and I set the alarm, and very seldom have to use it because I'm up before the alarm goes off.
Way up.
Do you want me just to give you a 2-hour warning text at 3:45?
No.
I'm just trying to help you out.
No, because I will not now forget to actually turn the alarm on.
I'm here for you.
Get burned once, you don't get burned twice.
Oh, don't say that.
I know, that's true too.
Don't say that. Now I really don't like your chances of going on any kind of streak.
Because now I'll end up here walking in. I'll walk here in a snowstorm one day.
Just saying.
And for those of you
got the West Durham suite upstairs.
For those of you who don't know, I'm relatively close to the basement.
You're 5 minutes even with red lights. From the house.
It was four and change today.
Like I said,
yeah.
Again.
It was good. So anyway, the alarm function, I woke up and looked and I saw a couple notes from Andrew, our producer. And I looked at the notes and I started messing around. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I'll go ahead and get up. I thought the alarm would go off. And then I looked and you sent a text saying all good. And I'm like, yeah, all good. And it was 6:46, not 5:46. And I thought, now we have a problem. And we did.
No, it's not we.
Me.
You.
Me. I had a problem. But it's all good.
Yeah, I got no problem.
So.
You feel better now that you got off your chest?
Not really.
No?
I mean, you know,
what else do you need to do?
I was late. I'm embarrassed. I was late.
What do you think your dad's doing right now, looking down at you? Was he think you think he's do you think he's utterly? I mean, when's the last time Woody Durham showed up late for a game?
Oh, now wait a second. Late for a game?
Yeah.
Oh, never late for a game.
Right. So he's looking down at heaven
right
now.
Because you got the adrenaline going.
He's looking down from heaven right now, really embarrassed for you.
No more embarrassed than Billy is.
No, Billy's Billy's probably been up for 3 hours.
Embarrassed than Billy Woody is when he realizes we're doing a show.
Woody is looking down at you right now going, you know, I just watched North Carolina get absolutely woodshedded in Winston-Salem.
Really? Come on now.
You know he is. He's embarrassed. I got my star player going. My star player at North Carolina says we didn't even look at the scouting report. And now he sees his son, who knows, hanging out, reading all kinds of mail, getting caught up because he's been on the road doing 18,000 games.
I got news for you.
What should the punishment be for this? I think you should have to wear a North Carolina, one of those ugly NC Duke North Carolina jerseys for a show.
No, it wouldn't look good. I would not look good in those.
I'm just telling you. That's just me. I offered you the West Durham suite upstairs so you would never have this problem.
Good thing we tanked.
Breakfast, all the coffee you can drink, your own bathroom, your own floor. If you wanted your buddy Fuller to hang with you, he'd sleep with you. But no.
Fuller.
Right here. You're going to go stay at some expensive condo. Hopefully you're able to write that thing off. And now look at you. Coming with all kinds of excuses why we're not here on time. I'm telling you. Hey, Woody, I know. Unbelievable. Well, now I've got something to tell the McCall School of Business today to lead off my lecture. One of the first things you kids ought to learn, you better be on time.
119 shows.
I just want to know this with Wes.
Yeah.
Wes's late appearance today. Who won the bet up in Bristol? Because you know there had to be a bet. Unbeknownst to us, you know
who was the bet?
Who won the bet?
Because y'all knew I'd be late before Packer, right?
I mean, it's impossible for me to be late. My commute is 14 steps straight down.
It's been noted.
I mean, how am I going to be late?
Car lights, because the door was open. So we thought we were fine about 6 minutes to go before the show. But if you need, we can also wake you up in the morning.
Drew can. I can't. I'd be lying if I said that I've never been late before. I mean, never for the start of a show, but I've been late getting in.
No, Josh is late. It's still 2 hours early.
Right.
See, the interesting part is we got two guys on this show who are at the stern of the wheel who never sleep. That'd be Andrew and Mark.
We also have two people hosting the show, of which one doesn't sleep.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. You never sleep. Drew never sleeps. So... That works to Josh and mine's advantage.
Okay. Don't bring Josh into this. He's already ticked off because he said yesterday Syracuse rolls, and then you saw what happened last night.
Yeah, I mean.
He's jumped off that bandwagon.
Yeah,
I was
feeling pretty good in the first half. We might get some jersey sighting today, and that was gone second half.
Not happening.
Yeah.
All right, we got that straightened out.
All right, we got a call before we go to break.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Hey, Joe in North Carolina wants to talk.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah. Hi, Joe. Good morning. Can you hear Joe?
Joe's late.
Joe. Oh, there you are. Go ahead, Joe. Good morning.
I'm right here. I'm here, my friend. Look, next time Carolina takes a 17-point beat down, you better just get Wes over there the night before. Just tell him, just get in your car and come on now. You can sleep in the Barco lounger. We'll put the hounds in, you know, away. But I was just thinking
Joe,
of a good way.
He has his own suite, man. I'm just telling you. We got four floors here. He has his own floor if he wants it.
I mean, Woody would be so upset. You're right. He wouldn't have slept. He'd probably been pacing around and just walked on over. I mean, he'd had plenty of time to get over there. But sorry, Wes. I don't mean to get on your case. And
not bothering me, Joe. You call all the time, anti-Carolina, so I'm cool with it.
Oh, that's good. You know, I do actually live in the same town with the university over here, and but I did go to NC State, as you well know. And so I have a good time with it. You know, I've been over here since 1985. I actually talked to Dean Smith right after NC State won the national championship in 83. His grandkids used to take dance from my wife's studio, and Dean was great, man. We were in the back of the performance, the Christmas performance. I had my second child had been born about 10 months earlier, and I'm walking my baby girl in the back of the Carboro Elementary School, and I hear this voice coming out of the dark, and it's boy, aren't they cute at that age? And I look over, and it's Dean Smith smoking a cigarette, and we sat down and talked for a half hour, and I really treasure that. And I want to tell you, even though I went to NC State, you know, back when Van Willerford was winning the ACC title in, what was it, 69?
Right.
After That's Carolina it. Came in second in the nation to UCLA in 68, I believe. And I don't know, the present coach at Carolina was on that team, I believe, the one that came up number two. He was riding the pine, but he was there, and he was listening. And he's a very good coach, no doubt about it. These players over in down the road from me here in the light blue, they need to, like, listen to a coach who's won several national championships and was schooled by Dean Smith. It just might be a good idea to actually pay attention to the man. And, you know, the team had turned it around. I thought they were, you know, they had full sails and they were going. But I think that one-point loss to Duke just blew the wind out of their sails, and Wake just beat them like a drum. And the Demon Dickin was cleaning out the bar last night. It was sad.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Joy to breaking them down now.
We got a lot there.
You got a Dean Smith reference, smoking a cigarette, and watching a dance recital, and a woodshed job, and listening to your coach.
Yeah.
Joe's got it all figured out.
Yeah. When we come back, there's some interesting comments. Josh Pastner yesterday, during the ACC teleconference, identified Carolina, Louisville, Syracuse, and Virginia as blue bloods, was also complimentary of what Florida State has done. We'll hear that and also talk about what constitutes the blue bloods of the ACC when we continue after this on ACC Network and Sirius XM 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, ACC Network, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program.
The 705 show has been really good this morning.
Yeah. Still early. Oh, all right, man. So Josh Pastner on Monday's teleconference uttered some comments that got some people thinking.
Well, I mean, I think basically he was asked a question to talk about the league, and you can hear what he says here when he starts talking about blue bloods in the ACC.
I consider there's five blue bloods in this league: North Carolina, Duke, Louisville, Syracuse, and Virginia. Virginia is a blue blood after what Tony Bennett's done over the last years, the amount of wins he's had in this league. You got to consider them a blue blood. Florida State is as good as any team in the country over the last decade. Just those six alone, think how good those six are.
All right. So, Duke, Carolina, Louisville, Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Florida State and Syracuse. Yeah. That's a lot.
You just said six.
Yeah. Duke, Carolina, Louisville, Florida State, Virginia, Syracuse. Here's my question.
Yeah.
Does that mean that a guy taking a job in this league goes, well, I hope I can finish seventh?
No.
That's not what anybody wants to hear.
No.
Right? I mean, but does he identify those? Do you think those six are blue bloods?
I you know, everybody defines blue blood differently.
In your mind, where's that? Where are we?
Where
with
would
this?
I draw the line there? I think North Carolina and Duke are definitely that. I think Louisville is a blue blood program.
Absolutely.
And Syracuse has had great success and consistency under Boeheim. Mm-hmm. Virginia to me is kind of like new money blue blood. I mean, what Bennett's done this decade, has been sensational. And Terry Holland had great teams in the 80s, but they've been too inconsistent when you start determining that Duke and North Carolina, to me, are kind of the standard of how you would measure a blue blood. Mm-hmm. Louisville, to me, has had a great run of basketball tradition. Syracuse, like I said, their consistency, but in terms of national championships, they've won one. I think he could draw the line there. Florida okay. State, Leonard's built a great program. I would not consider Florida State basketball a blue blood basketball program. I think their football program is a blue blood.
Right.
Not their basketball.
If you were to, and now let's take Carolina basketball and Florida State football maybe as examples here. Programs that have unbelievable plateaus of success, but then they've had dip.
Yeah, but
and when they have the dip, you got to come back.
You don't always stay there. Is UCLA a blue blood?
Historically, yes.
Historically, yes. But if they had a dip, they have. And listen, they went.
Ben Howland took them to back-to-back Final Fours
12, 15 years ago.
Right.
So it's not like they've been completely non-existent. But, I mean, everybody's going to go through a dip. I mean, Duke's not always been awesome.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's going to go through it. Kentucky had times where they weren't Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They've won one national championship under Coach Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it depends how you want to define blue blood. The cool thing about this league is that you can go 6, 7, 8 deep mm-hmm. of programs that have had a taste of success at the ultimate level. Where would you put NC State? I mean, they've won 2 national championships.
Absolutely.
Now, granted, they've not won an ACC title in a long time, and State fans are frustrated with that. But, I mean, not to say NC State doesn't have a basketball tradition, you'd be out of your mind to make mm-hmm. a comment like that. So the cool thing about this league is it's always had great basketball lineage.
Right.
How you want to define blue bloods, to me, a blue blood would be like the ultimate elite.
Yeah.
And to me, under that category, North Carolina and Duke fall into that category. To me, Louisville's awfully close.
All right, let's take let's take Louisville first, okay? And we put together some stuff here for, you know, just kind of piecing together the histories of these programs. And we'll start with Louisville from this standpoint. The Cards' winning percentage, 2/3, 23 conference titles, 17 tournament titles. They've had a bit of a journey in terms of their conference affiliations.
And one of the things I think, too, that makes you a blue blood program, as long as have you had great success to say, listen, we've won conference titles and national titles, we're a consistent player in the NCAA, but you also need to have a fan base that supports you accordingly. And the state, or I should say the Commonwealth of Kentucky, to me, has always been one of the few in the country that even if you're having a down year,
right.
man, they're there with you.
Right.
And to me, Kentucky and Louisville basketball fans are as good as there are in college basketball.
I include
that in the great state of North Carolina, uh-huh. obviously. Indiana loves their basketball. There are pockets around the country that have it, but the Commonwealth of Kentucky, without question, has it.
I think the other thing, too, is you have to go to Final Fours. I don't know if you have to win them, but you got to be there.
Well, I think you do
have
need
to have
to
some
win one.
Sort of postseason consistency and run. So the fact Louisville's been to 9 Final Fours and won 2 titles, I think, certainly counts.
Without question.
All right. Another school that has a great basketball tradition, but one that I don't think gets recognized prior to the arrival of Jim Boeheim is what Syracuse has done, because a lot of it has come under Jim Boeheim. The days of Roy Danforth and Jim Lee and Dennis Duval are not as common ground as the Bowie and Louie and certainly Carmelo and Pearl and all the things that happened during the great run of the Big East. But Syracuse certainly falls into this category. 40 NCAA tournament appearances, their 6 Final Fours, the 1 national title in 2003.
And again, a community that loves basketball.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And even when they're down, guess what? 20,000 people are showing up to watch them play. It matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the DNA. And again, it goes back to part of the Big East relationship, which again, I loved the whole Big East, which I think was fantastic. And Syracuse was certainly a part of some incredible storylines there. And in a short period of time, they have kind of joined the ACC mix. I thought they would have a bigger influence, quite frankly, in ACC basketball since joining the conference.
That's
I thought they
point.
Would have a bigger influence than what they've actually had.
All right, let's take the 2 schools that then, and Mark and I kind of lay out those 2 to show you these 2. I think Virginia and Florida State are the ones you have to have kind of say, okay, they're in the mix and on the way, But you probably got to do, if you're going to call it a blue blood, maybe a little more work. And here's why.
Virginia's new money.
I agree.
And it's the only way I can describe it. I mean, and Tony Bennett has been so great.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, Terry Holland had great teams in the 80s. Those Virginia teams were Ralph Sampson and Lee. And those, I mean, come on, man.
Virginia crossed the bridge last year.
Right.
Not only did they go to the Final Four, they won the national title.
Right.
And when you cross that bridge, I remember it could have happened a few years prior to in Chicago before Malachi Richardson went crazy in the second half, and that Malcolm Brogdon-led Virginia team never got to the Final Four. So they were denied then. It was important for Virginia as a program and in the history of their program for them to get back and ultimately win the title last year. And I thought that was a huge statement. Right?
But, you know, the Jeff Lamp, Ralph Sampson era, I mean, in the 80s.
I remember they went to a Final Four in 81, then went without all those guys in 84.
Right.
Jim Miller and those guys on that 84 team in Seattle.
They had great teams in the 80s. Not good. Great teams.
Yeah.
And of course, this run that Tony Bennett's on, so they've had spikes of excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I think they're on the cusp. I look at them like new money.
Right.
So it's the only way I can define
it. Now, here's the one that's going to surprise you, and I think it really kind of personifies how good a job Leonard Hamilton has done at Florida State. Because you go and look at Florida State's basketball history. Now, remember, the Seminoles, their basketball history is not nearly as long as Carolina and Duke and Syracuse and some of these other schools. But two conference titles, one I think in the Metro and one in the ACC, tournament titles, 17 NCAAs. The Final Four was in 1972 when Hugh Durham coached. Now, in your mind, Florida State, as good as they've been here in the last 4 or 5 years, still work to do.
Not a blue blood.
Right.
Blue blood in football, not a blue blood in hoops. And I think they're comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of like the fact that, hey, you know what? Nobody ever talks about us when we're good. So we'll just go out and prove it to the Dukes and the North Carolinas and everybody else in the national media that, you know what? We got a really good program. And what Leonard's built there is out of sight.
Right.
But I would not categorize Florida State basketball as a blue blood.
Mm-mm.
I would not.
They got plenty of chances, though, to keep building momentum, don't they?
And they're still rocking. I mean, that's the good news if you're a Florida State fan. But, you know, if we're talking football, Heismans, national championships, major bowl appearances, when everything's right, you got 80,000 guys in the next level. Hey, Florida State football is a blue blood. Florida State hoops, I would not put it in that category.
I love your timing.
Thank you.
That's why the show's
I'll be here all week.
That's why. Well, I'll be here except for the first five.
You'll be here Monday?
Monday? No. I'm out Monday. When we come back, speaking of PAX timing, we're going to talk football, and we're going to talk Florida State football as well. But first, quick reminder to you, tomorrow night is Ladies Night here on ACC Network. We've got a women's doubleheader for you and a pair of good ball games. Duke is in Pittsburgh to see if Joanne P. McCallie's Blue Devils can keep on their recent tear. And also the headliner in the league maybe this year.
Biggie.
Yep, number 4 NC State, number 9 Louisville is tomorrow night, Valvano Arena at Reynolds Coliseum. And we're going to have it for you right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. When we come back, Florida State has signed up for non-conference football that's not that terribly far away, to be honest with you. And it adds to a list of games that Mike Norvell has got on the schedule. Nobody's going to be questioning strength of schedule for Florida State. Packer and Durham continues in a moment.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.